Will the young people come and join me? Come on, guys. Come on, Jenna. You can't just stay back there. Come on, buddy. Come on, Keenan. Come on, Keenan. Come on, Bradley's walking. Oh, my goodness. Everybody's growing up. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Okay, we're going to take a break from our book this morning. Okay, we're going to have, we're just going to have a little bit of a test this morning, okay? I want everybody to look at your hand. Okay, everybody look at your hand, okay? Now today, we're going to kind of be talking about sharing, so this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your hand off, and I want you to hand it to the person next to you. No, you have to actually take your hand off, okay? Hand it to the person next to you. Okay, we're not getting that done very well. Okay, why can we not do this? Because they're connected. Our hand is connected to our arm. Our bones are connected, right, Ken? That's exactly right. Our bones are connected. Well, you know, want to know what? Today is worldwide communion. And God tells us in His Word that we are all connected, that Christians everywhere are all connected. We are members of the body of Christ. We are especially connected to our church family here, and we are connected to everybody. Every Christian around the world is having communion today, or they are able to be in worship. Is that awesome? And it reminds us that we are all connected. We are not alone. We're not alone in this church. We're not alone as Christians in this community, in this country, and in this world. And together, we are strong when we stand for Jesus. Okay? Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we thank You that we are all connected. And when the storms of life come, we thank You that because we are strong when we're all together, that we will stand and that we will have the victory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I think next to Bobby, he's got some snacks for you. And we've got some junior church with Miss Descendio and Miss Knoll. Good job. Well, you're going to have to decide how groovy it is. But getting together is what I'd like to talk about this morning. I want you to listen to these words of a well-known professor. His name is Zimbardo, Philip Zimbardo. He actually is a psychology professor at Stanford. Listen to these words. I know of no more potent killer than isolation. There is no more destructive influence on physical and mental health than the isolation of you from me and us from them. Isolation has been shown to be the central agent in depression, paranoia, schizophrenia, rape, suicide, mass murder, and a wide variety of other diseases. You know, in the field of psychology, Professor Zimbardo, he's considered the definitive word in his profession. So as truth, I think that we need to sit up and take notice. These are pretty scary things. A wide variety of other diseases, oh my gosh, that was a pretty extensive list. In our culture, you know, we are no longer a sharing people. Above all else, we value independence and self-reliance. We wear headsets when we run, or when we mow, or walk past people on the street, you know the rule, don't make eye contact. And that's not just a rule in our church if you don't want to do something. Our commitments are short term. And we observe kind of an odd sort of privacy. You know, I remember the day when the boys were in college and I stopped getting copies of their grades. I called the school and I said, and they told me that the grades were only given to the students, that they were no longer given to the parents, that they were private, and that I would have to ask the student for the grades. I told the woman, I'm paying for it, I want the grades. And she informed me that it was illegal for her to give me the grades. You know, when I went and had my hip done, they gave you that HIPAA form. And I had to fill it out. You know, who can they talk to about my condition? And I wrote, anyone who asks. I was tersely told that that was unacceptable. You know, times have really changed. Do you remember these classic words? No man is an island entirely of himself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in all mankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Our modern culture, our young people, our lonely generation has a terrible time trying to understand how we are all interconnected. Husbands and wives are transferred across continents, sometimes across the world, for their careers. Family reunions go unattended. And add to that the absolutely irritating hassle that it is to stay connected and to cultivate close relationships, and we're really content to go in the house and lock the door. We love to have lifestyles that make sharing unnecessary. Skepticism and indifference has replaced really genuine support and involvement. And it's so easy for us to get away with it because we can Facebook stuff, makes it look like we're real involved when indeed we're still in the house with the doors closed. One social commentator said, the well-tended front lawn is the modern moat that keeps the barbarians at bay. Okay, now this might seem like a much easier way to live, and this much may seem like a more stress-free existence, but remember what the mental health professionals say. Isolation is a potent killer. Now, okay, I hear you saying, then what is this involvement that I'm talking about? Webster's Dictionary defines involvement as to draw in as a participant, to relate closely, to connect, and to include. When you and I decide to get involved, we get connected. If it's another person, we think of them when we make plans. We think of each other when we're making plans. You know, we choose to share our lives. Golly, wonder what they're doing right now. Wonder if we can get together. We tell another person what's going on with our own lives, and we listen while they tell us what's going on in theirs. Now, to break this down into something that we can really chew on, Christians have four areas where they really have to stay involved. One is our involvement with God. Now, our first involvement with God results in our salvation, amen? And then it becomes our everyday walk with Christ through life. And to make sure we stay involved with God, we think of Him when we make plans in our lives. And we talk to Him regularly, and we read what He has to say to us in His Word. And even though this is probably the most important involvement that we have in life, it's really not something that we take seriously. Second is our involvement with the members of our family, parents, children, relatives, spouses, Christians or not. We include them in our thinking, and some, of course, more than others. Now, third is our involvement with other Christians. Usually these people come from the church we attend. And this actually is the major factor in our ability to weather the storms of life and to make it through well. Fourth is our involvement with non-Christians. You know the ones I'm talking about. Work, business, the ones you live near, the ones you go to school with. However, our culture has convinced us that we shouldn't connect with them on a spiritual level. But that pretty much ignores what God has commanded us to do, and not to mention the fact that it kind of throws them under the bus. But in light of the scripture lesson this morning from Acts, I want to focus on just purely on our involvement with other Christians. Now, if you're a marginal Christian or if you're a new Christian, you might think that Christian involvement is like a walk in the park. You know, after all, you might think, everyone, one in Christ, hearing from the Holy Spirit, mutually only wanting to do what God wants done, you know, being involved with just other Christians, boy, that must be a wonderful thing. Well, not so much. There's an old poem about this as well. To dwell above with the saints we love, that will be grace and glory. To live below with the saints we know, well, that's quite another story. Yeah, we're kind of like porcupines sometimes, trying to get together when it's cold. Well, so how do Christians, specifically Christians, overcome our human tendency to not get along? The answer is in Scripture. It's in the word fellowship. In Acts 2:42, you remember what I said? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You know, this particular verse has some profound significance in the way we live our lives together with other Christians. Think about what was happening. The church was brand new. It had just come into existence. There were about 3,000 Christians huddled around in the streets of Jerusalem. There was no building, no organization, no constitution, no bylaws, no pastor, not even a completed copy of Scripture. There was nothing tangible for them to hold on to. So what did they do? They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, to the love feast, which was communion, to prayer, and to fellowship. Here's the Greek word for it. Know you love the Greek. You're probably familiar with the word, koinonia. That means common. Now the next three verses from Acts 2 shows just how close they were. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. There's an old hymn that we sing that reflects this attitude towards each other, and it's blessed be the tie that binds. But I really thought that song back from when I was 14 years old kind of reflected it pretty well too, that everything was groovy because people were getting together. Now, even though this was first century Christianity, there are four characteristics of their involvement that we can put into practice, so stick with me. Everyone participated. They said all of them participated. Nobody held back. It made them possible for them to stay together, even though some of them were in need. It was not manufactured. They really cared about each other. They weren't just putting on airs. And because they were going through all of this, they were in unity and harmony. Down in Acts 4 and 32, there is more information about this baby church. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. That there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds amazing to me. I mean, that sounds like over the top. Ancient koinonia must have been something really special. It's talked about in Scripture about 20 times. Without exception, it's talked about in two different ways. First, it is used in the sharing of something with someone, like food or money or supplies or encouragement time, you know. Second, it's sharing with someone in something, like a project or a success or a failure or a hurt or a need. And the reason I bring that up is that the significance of all of this koinonia going on is that it is never, was or is, will never be done alone. It is not the will of God, not now, not ever, that we live out our faith apart from other believers. God commands that we reach out, that we accept and become involved in each other's lives and in the life of the church. There are no lone wolves for Jesus if they're following God's will. And that means that we make a conscious decision to not follow what this empty world would tell us. You know, well, you know what? I'm just too busy. It's just not worth the risk. It's just a big old pain. I don't really need anyone. I'll get burned if I get too close. You know, if I reach out, I'll just look silly. I mean, that's what the world would tell you. That's not what God tells you. The devil's strategy for our time is working. He has deluded us into believing that we really should not connect ourselves with other people. And he has deluded us into believing that we are not our brother's keeper. You know, after all, I mean, we have time pressures. We have work demands, not to mention all the anxiety of these, you know, uncertain economic times. What's that about? It's chaos. And who really needs our help anyway? You know, what do we have to offer? Well, I'll tell you who needs your help. Just about every person you meet, that's who. That's who needs your help. Don't be fooled by the secure-looking, self-reliant face that most of us have gotten really, really good at wearing. Deep down inside, there is usually a scared little kid who is just waiting for someone to care about them, someone to hold their hand, someone to give them a word of encouragement, someone to love them without any ulterior motives. You know, God commands that we be involved because he has made us dependent human beings. So when you are going through trials and the devil tells you to stay away, that's because he knows that when you get together with other believers, you will be strong. Remember what God said to Adam just before he made Eve? It is not good for man to be alone. That follows. And that's finally really the point I want to make. We need to be involved because it's absolutely necessary for us. We need to be involved because it's good for us. Remember our call to worship from 1 Corinthians 12? If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. In order for Christ's body, the church, to do what it is that we were made to do, we have to be working together as a team. And to make sure that unrest and disillusionment doesn't happen, we need to fellowship. We need to spend time together. As friends, we need to become a part of each other's lives, even though sometimes it's a pain. And not only that, we need to help each other as servants and friends. Just like your human body, when one part is injured, the rest of the body steps up to repair the injury. You know, I have seen it time and time again. Believers who have decided that they want to serve God, but only on their own terms. Sometimes they're in the church, but they never truly become a part of the church family. They are an island in the church. You know who I'm talking about. And then the storms of life happen, and they pull away, not realizing that as they pull away from their church family, they're pulling away from God. In the family of God, there is no such thing as an island, an independent member of the body. Now, we may act like it for a while, but ultimately God shows us just how much we need each other. In our indifferent, preoccupied world of seclusion, it is a comfort to know, at least for me, that we're linked together. That someone cares about us. Doesn't that help you with what you're going through? That someone is interested in you? Isn't that a good thing for you? Doesn't that make you feel better no matter what you're going through? When you're noticed and someone really cares about how you're doing, isn't that special to you? You know, a senior pastor of a large congregation, he wrote that in his church, it was huge, I don't remember the numbers, that it was very easy for a person to get lost in the shuffle. He said it was very easy in his church for someone to become a faceless name in the crowd, to feel no sense of community or identity, and to accept no responsibility, to kind of drift in and drift out and go through maybe some very dangerous things without anybody ever knowing it in the church. That's why we here at Christ Church are so fortunate. Do you know if we make the effort, we can know, truly know each other. You know, it's easy to think that everybody that comes to worship is involved, you know, that they're getting noticed, that they're getting hugged by somebody, that they're getting encouraged, they're getting cared for. It's really easy for us to think that about all of us here, but you know, that's not true. We each have to make the effort. Dr. James Dobson, he shared an account of an experience he had at a seminary. He was a guest speaker. He spoke on the need for self-esteem in people who are going to go into the ministry. And a young man wrote Dr. Dobson later and said that he was paralyzed with fear. And that even though he felt that he was truly called by God to help others, that he just didn't think that he could get it done because he was just so fearful. The reason that Dr. Dobson wrote about this account was that something happened later, and I want to read what he wrote. This is what Dr. James Dobson wrote. Sitting in the audience that same day was another student with the same kind of problems. Seminary. Okay, this is a seminary, just in case you forgot that. However, he did not write me a letter. He never identified himself in any way. But 3 weeks after I left, he hanged himself in the basement of his apartment. One of the four men with whom he lived called me long distance to inform me of this tragedy. He stated, deeply shaken, that the dead student's roommates were so unaware of his problems that he hanged in the basement 5 days before anybody noticed he was missing. The seminary, okay? Now, I know it's hard to believe, but there are Christians that we know and we love who are out of touch, who are disconnected, who are uninvolved, and who are floundering, and who feel like they are going down for the third time. You know them. They need you. They need us. And what's more, we need them. And unless we make the conscious decision to become involved with each other's lives, Christians are going to continue in this culture to drop like flies. Never forget, isolation is a potent killer. That's what the mental professionals call it. So this series of getting a grip, it's kind of like how to live as a Christian, you know. This getting a grip on being involved, this is not a luxury for people with time on their hands. This is not something for you to do if you don't have anything else to do. It is absolutely necessary for all of us to survive and to do it well. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we are a busy people. But Lord, we know that you have commanded us to be involved in each other's lives, to be friends. And we pray that you would convict all of our hearts to become involved in each other's lives. And we pray this not only on Worldwide Communion Sunday, not only with the chicken barbecue coming up, but we pray this for all time. And we pray it in the name of the one who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen.